Want to thank everyone for coming, and especially to thank, one page. To thank Seth and Emily for hosting all of us, and a big yasher koach to Brian and Akiva for arranging the food and sending out the email. And we have good news. The Vizhnitzer Rebbe of Bnei Brak in Israel, it looks like he's coming to Englewood. So he's coming for about a month. The reason why he's coming is not so good. Unfortunately, he needs a big surgery in Columbia. So they were looking for a place close to Columbia where he could be checked on by his doctors after the surgery. And they found Englewood. So he's, God willing, going to be here starting from January 1st, probably till like January 24th, 25th. I don't know. We have to figure that out, right?
We're trying to figure it out.
We're trying to figure it out, you know.
They heard they wanted a place that's, you know, has Hasidic roots like we have.
Like they all want to come to the Wednesday night shir. Like maybe we'll have like 500 Vizhnitzer Hasidim. He's going to rent a house.
Get a house a couple
blocks away. So he should have a refuah shleima, and maybe. You know, at some point we'll have some tish. Maybe
a
celebratory
tish.
I don't know how he's feeling. You know, it'd be after a big surgery. So Bezrat Hashem, everything should be well. So for tonight, I wanted to talk about the topic of davening very loudly. So Seth thought that the way I presented it wasn't dynamic enough. He said, like, how about why yell when you daven? So try to talk about this idea of yelling and davening and how special it is.
To, I know he wants to say something to say, like, it wasn't okay to yell at Hashem or something. Like, people like, you know.
Yeah, we always. Oh. Okay, very good. So you were loud in shul, and people weren't so into it.
Well, not really loud.
I don't think so. So the Hasidim, they try very much to be very loud in davening. And I have a book that was recommended to me by the Svarim store in Borough Park. It's called Mili de Chassidusa, All the Matters of Being a Chassid. It's from the judge of Kahal Yitav Leiv in Antwerp, Rabbi Chaim Yosef David Weiss. So he wrote a 2-volume book where he tries to go through different Hasidic practices and to show that it's not just Hasidim who said it, but a lot of people say it. So he has a whole big section about what faith is, about Kabbalah, about missing the times for davening, making mistakes in your davening, issues of doing an Aveira but having good intention, so it's really not so bad. How important it is. The heart is most important. What Torah Lishma means. So he has a section about this topic as well. He calls it Hislavos, passion. And the source is for davening very, very loudly. And fortunately for us, the next Torah, the Kute Moharan, Torah Test, the ninth Torah, Rabbi Nachman also talks about this theme, about davening very loudly and putting a lot of passion into your davening. So Rabbi Weiss, he's trying to find lots of sources for the idea. So he suggests, number one, maybe this is the Gemara in Masechet Brachos. The Gemara says in Brachos on Daf Vav, oh, welcome, come on guys, come join us, it's great. No. Akira can join us. Come on in, by all means. There are seats right over here. lots of seats. So, Reb, please come on in. Ah, great. So Rabbi Weiss points out there's a Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara says in Brachos, the verse says in Eicha, Lishmoa el harina ve'el ha-tfilah, to hear the song and the prayer. So the Gemara says, B'makom rina, at the place of song, sham tehei tfilah. That's the place for prayer. So what is rina? The Gra has an interesting explanation of rina. The Gra in his commentary to Mishlei on the pasuk Chachmos Bachutz Tarona, wisdoms all the way in the outskirts create Tarona, they create a rina. The Gra says that rina means a low level of understanding, just like an echo, a vibration. So the Gra says in those days they didn't have schools. The children would learn in the shul with a malamed, with a teacher. So what is the malamed teaching the children? Very basic things: how to read, how to pronounce the letters, aleph, beis, gimel. So that's what the Gra thinks is rina. Rina is tarona, it's the echoes. So the pasuk, the Gemara is saying, where should you pray? Pray in a place where the children are learning how to read. Because where the children are learning on the most basic level, that has the holiest atmosphere, and that makes the prayer a better prayer. That's how the Gra explains this Gemara. Chachmos Bachutz Tarona. But Rashi says something else. Rashi says, Beveis HaKnesses, the prayer should be in a shul. Shasham Omrim Hatzibur Shiros V'Tishbachos. Because there the community sings and praises God, b'ne'imas kol arev, with the sweetness of a sweet voice. So Rashi seems to say that if you want to have tefillah, it should be accompanied in a place where there's ne'imas kol arev, the sweetness of a great voice. Rav Chaim Kanievsky said, what's the proof that we're supposed to daven very loudly? It's a midrash in Shir HaShirim. The pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Hashmi'ini es koleich, let me hear your voice, ki koleich arev umareich naveh, for your voice is sweet and your appearance is beautiful. So the midrash says, Hashmi'ini es koleich, Kisha'atem mispalalim lefanai bekol gavoa. When you pray in front of me with a loud voice, let me hear your voice. Ki kolech arev bitfilaseh. Then your prayer is sweet in your prayers. So it seems like the Midrash is saying that if you want to have a sweet prayer, it should be hashmi'ini es kolech. Let me hear your voice. It should be a loud voice. It shouldn't be a lowly whispered voice. But perhaps the most powerful source is in the Ramban, at the end of Parshas Bo. The Ramban writes, the kavanas romamos hakel betfilos. The way to have kavana is by having a very loud voice when you daven. The kavanas bate aknesios uschus tfilas arabim. And the whole idea of why daven with the minyan, so that it's louder and there are more people davening. It's that people should gather and in this place thank God who created us and made us exist. And we should make it public. So we should say in front of him, Briosecha anachnu, we were created by you. We're proud of it. We are broadcasting that you made us. So if I'm whispering it, that's not a sign of being proud. That's not informing the world. The point of prayer is to say, Briosecha anachnu, we are your creations. And that's why we have a Talmud Yerushalmi. Talmud Yerushalmi in Masechet Tanis, Perek Beis, Halacha Aleph. The Talmud Yerushalmi says that we read on Yom Kippur the story of Yonah. Yonah went to Nineveh and he warns the people of Nineveh that God's going to overturn the city and destroy it because of all their sins. So the verse says, "Vayikru'u el Elokim b'chozka." They scream out to God with force. Says the Yerushalmi, "Mikan atalameh shetfila tzricha kol." That prayer needs amplification. It needs a loud voice. Chatzifa natzach l'kshira. It's an amazing Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says, in life, it's the guys who are loud that usually beat out the guys who are righteous. The people who are righteous are quiet, they're modest, they don't make a lot of noise. And then you have the people in the meetings, they have a lot of chutzpah, and they insist on talking, and they push, and they scream, and they're loud. The other guys usually get their way. So if it works with people, that the loud people get their way, it'll certainly work with God. The louder you are, the more you have a better chance of getting your way. So the Yerushalmi says, if it works with people, that chatzifa natzach l'kshira, the brazen people beat the righteous, modest people. So with God also, if you're more loud and you're brazen and you're screaming to the Almighty, you've got a better chance of getting Him to answer you. And that's what the Ramban says. The whole point of davening with the minyan is that it should be loud so that we tell the world we are announcing the Briyosecha Anachnu. We are the creations of Hashem. In the book Orchos Chaim, he writes, prayer has to be loud and with a lot of force, because that's what the people of Nineveh do. So if they did it, we should do it the same way. Rav Yosef Bukhar Shor says on the Pasuk in Kisavo, Va'anisava Amarta, you should respond and say, Bekol Ram, you have to say it loudly. Kmo Va'anu Aleviyim, like when the Leviyim respond. Va'amuel Kalish Yisrael Kol Ram, and they all speak to the people of Israel with a loud voice. Dishvacho Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer Adam Bekol Ram. When we pray, we're praising God. So we're whispering the praises of God. We should be broadcasting the praises of God. We should be telling the whole world how great God is. That's the only way to do it. We should be very, very loud. Rashi says in Sefer Shmuel that when Chana was praying silently, Eli thought it was very unusual. Why, says Rashi? Because no one used to pray silently. Everyone would pray out loud. So apparently the norm is to pray out loud. But Chana introduced a new idea that the Shmona Esrei, the Amidah, the 19 blessings, that should be recited quietly, softly. Apparently before Chana, even Shmona Esrei was out loud. But that Chana only introduced something about Shmona Esrei, not about Kriyat Shema, not about Kaddish, not about Amen, not about Psukah de Zimra. All of those should be said out loud. The Tshuvos Beis Sha'arim writes that, actually this is a great vart. In the Birkas Aaron, he quotes the grandson of the Baal Shem Tov, Reb Baruch of Mezhibuzh. So Reb Baruch of Mezhibuzh said, the halacha is that on Tisha B'Av, because it's a day of mourning, we're supposed to daven in a low voice. So he said, if davening quietly was the right way, why are we only davening the right way on Tisha B'Av? Must be that the right way to daven is to daven loud. And then on Tisha B'Av, because we're in mourning, so that's the time for a low voice. But generally, we're supposed to be davening very loud. In the Tshuvos Beis Sha'arim, he writes, the Gemara says in Masechet Sota, that the reason why the silent Amidah, Shmona Esrei, is supposed to be recited softly is because there are all sorts of people who might be confessing sins. So if they would be saying it out loud, so it's embarrassing that other people hear about their sins. But there are parts of prayer that aren't about confession of sins. Let's say Psukah de Zimra, the verses of praise. So that certainly should be out loud. It should be very loud. And the Hasidim, they emphasize this a great deal, that it's so important to daven with a lot of force and to daven very, very loudly. Rabbi Nachum Nachum of Chernobyl says, whenever you say Amen, you should say it with all of your strength, as loudly as possible. Rabbi Elimelech of Luzhensk says, when you daven, you should daven with all of your strength, and as loudly as possible, because then you'll have more kavana. You'll concentrate better if you put more into it. Your thoughts will be more attached to your words. In fact, if you find that you're not davening the way you'd like to, for the next 40 days, every time you daven, get your whole being into it. Daven with all of your strength. The Reb Shmelka of Nicholsburg writes, prayer should be out loud and with all of your power. The Sefer HaTanya writes in chapter 22 of Igeres HaKodesh, my beloved, my friends, because of all of my challenges that are surrounding me, I can't tell you all the things that I want to tell you. But what I will tell you is one short thing, which is like so important. Anyone who wants to achieve successful prayer, you have to strengthen yourself with all of your power, with all of your energy, against anyone who might stop you. And when you get a chance to pray, you have to pray with as loudly as you can. And in that way, you will give nachas to Hashem who created you. You have to call out to God as loudly as possible and invest your voice as much as you can into your prayers. So we see that the Hasidim and even earlier sources talk about how great it is to pray with tremendous force, to pray very loudly. And that's what Rabbi Nachman teaches us here in this Torah, the ninth Torah of Likutei Moharan. Rabbi Nachman talks about the power of prayer. And as is Rabbi Nachman's style, he's very, very poetic with a lot of connections. So he begins with, Tohomos yichasyumu yardu v'mtzolos. When we got to the Red Sea, the verse says that the depths surrounded and drowned Paro. They went down all the way to the lowest levels. Says Rabbi Nachman, now reading from the page that I handed out, Ki ikar achius, the main life, Makablin me'atfila. You get your life primarily from prayer. The main life that you get is through your prayers. K'moshe kasuv, that's what the verse says. Tfila l'kel chayai. A prayer to the God of my life. I get my life from my prayer. U'bishvil zeh, because I'm getting my life from prayer, I need to pray with all of my energy. If I pray with all of my energy, and I put my energy into the letters of prayer, then my strength is renewed. It's like the idea that every morning there's a new beginning. So great is your faith. Ki emuna hitfila. When we talk about faith, we're talking about prayer. K'moshe kasav, as it says in Parshas Bishalach, after the splitting of the sea, that when the Jews are fighting Amalek, Moshe Rabbeinu goes and sits on top of a mountain, and his hands are held up. And as long as his hands are up, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, the nation is reminded to think of God, to think of heaven, and they pray. When his hands sag, then they stop praying. But how does the verse refer to his hands? Vayihi yadav emunah. His hands were faith. So you see that faith is prayer. Utirgumo, the translation of that in Unklus, is prishon betzila. His hands were spread out in prayer. So prayer is the translation for emunah, for faith. So you see that faith is prayer. And the verse says, Chadashim labkarim, new every morning. Rabba emunasecha, great is through your faith. That means through prayer. I have a new beginning. Says Rabbi Nachman, v'da, you should know. Sheyesh 12 shvatim. There are 12 tribes. Keneged 12 mazalos. Why were there 12 tribes? Because there are 12 horoscopes. 12 constellations. And each constellation corresponds to one of the tribes. That's also why there are 12 gates to the Jerusalem of heaven. V'chol shevet v'shevet yesh lo nuscha miyuchedes. Each tribe has its own version of prayer. V'yesh lo shar miyuchad. It has its own gate. L'kanes derech sham tfilaso. His prayer goes through that gate. V'chol shevet mo'or b'tfilaso koach mazalo shebishnei maser mazalos. Each tribe, when it prays, will trigger and arouse one of the constellations. Hamazul Meir Lamata, that constellation then shines below. Umegadel Atzemach, and that causes the plant to grow. Ushar Dvar Matzich Melov, and everything else that is needed to it. Vizep Pirush, that's the meaning of the verse. Darach Kochav Miyakov, a star shot out from Jacob. Vekam Shevet Miyisrael, and a tribe arose in Israel. Vekam Zebechina Samida, standing up is the idea of prayer. Bechinas tefillah, that's prayer. Kishishavit mi Yisrael omid liyispal, when a tribe of Israel is praying, standing to pray, al yedezim or a kochav, that wakes up a star. Va'akochav u'dorech, and the star shoots out, umake advarim, it starts hitting things, sheyigdulu, to make them grow. Moshamu chacham zichorim levrach, as our sages say, ein lecha esav milmata, there's no blade of grass below, that doesn't have a star and an angel next to that star. Shemako, so that's hitting it, v'omelo, and telling it, gdal, grow. That's why our sages say, kashim is onosav kekriyas yamsuf. It's hard to find a livelihood like the splitting of the sea. The kashim zivugo kekriyas yamsuf, and it's hard to find a wife like the splitting of the sea. Ki hayamsuf nikra l'shnei masrei krayim. Because the sea split into 12 paths. Keneged shnei maser shvatim for the 12 tribes. Upnei Yisrael b'tfilasam garbim zivuga dekutsha b'richu shchinte. The Jewish people, when we pray, we unite God with His divine presence. Moshe Kassav, as the verse says, solula rochev aravos. Make way for the one who travels during the night. Rochev, the one traveling, is kutsha b'richu. And aravos is the shchina. That's the divine presence during the night. Shenis ariv b'kol agvanim, that all the colors are mixed in it. Ulefi azivuk shegorim b'tfilaso, and the way he connects God with the world when he's praying, kein zochel azivugo, then he merits to find his wife. V'atfilem shnei muschar nuschos, there are 12 different ways to pray. Leficha chazivuk, that's why a marriage is kikriyas yamsuf, is like the splitting of the sea, which was split into 12 paths. Shem shnei asar. And the Jewish people give support to their Father in heaven when they pray. That's what the verse says. He made it for Jacob a law. Chok, a law, is lishon de mizonahu. That's a term of livelihood. When you stand, it's to pray. The Zepirush, that's the meaning. Shamrei dosav v'chok nasan lamo. They kept his statutes and he gave a law. Edus utfila, prayer is called Edus, as it says, Shiftei ka, Edus lehodus l'shem Hashem. And we know that Edus has to be while standing. And prayer is while standing. And therefore, through the prayer, we cause the Almighty to unite with this world. And by causing the Almighty to unite with this world, we bring livelihood into this world. We bring a marriage into this world. And then he goes on to talk about this week's Parsha, where in this week's Parsha we find that Yaakov Avinu says that he conquered Shechem, v'charbiu v'kashti, with my sword and with my bow, and he gave it to Yosef. And charbiu v'kashti is a reference to the power of prayer. Through prayer he conquered Shechem. And then Rabbi Nachman goes on to say that in the night there's a lot of darkness, and there are different openings, and through prayer a person can merit to find an opening even in the period of night. And he goes on to talk about the Teva of Noach and a lot of other connections. No, but he happens to. It happens to be that. It's actually about Parshas Peshalach that week. That this Torah is in Parshas Peshalach, but Kriyas Yamsuf. But he throws in Vayikra and he throws in Vayechi and other things. Rabbi Nachman ultimately comes out saying that if we think about a great model of prayer, it's Yaakov Avinu, because Yaakov Avinu prays during the night. He's the one who creates the prayer of Ma'ariv. And Rabbi Nachman says Yaakov Avinu, his attribute is truth. So when you need to find a prayer, when you're in the darkness and you can't find a prayer, you have to have a truthful prayer to connect to Yaakov. When you have a truthful prayer, then you'll find light even within the darkness. This is what Rabbi Nachman says. So my teacher, the Stachina Rebbe, he suggested the following explanation of what Rabbi Nachman is trying to teach us. And why is it so necessary to scream in prayer and to put all of your life into prayer? So he said the following idea. We know that in Judaism, there are two major, let's say, pillars. There's the pillar of studying Torah, and there's the pillar of prayer, the pillar of tefillah. On a simple level, there's a difference between these two pillars. The pillar of studying Torah is about how to use our mind. We should use our mind to think about God's will, to think about His mitzvos, to think about His chumash, think about His parsha, think about His gemara, and that purifies our mind. Prayer is not about the mind. What's prayer all about? Prayer is about the heart. The Rambam tells us, serve God with your heart is a reference to the biblical obligation, according to the Rambam, of prayer. A Zoe Avoda Shabalev, what is the service of the heart? It's prayer. Now you'd think that Torah is the mind, and then prayer is the heart. But the truth is the Hasidim teach something else. They say there are two types of truth. There's a simple truth, which is the truth of the mind. It's something you can explain to somebody else. But then there's a very deep truth. The very deep truth is the truth that comes out of the heart. When you go to such a deep level where you have a feeling of the heart, that's a very, very deep truth. That's the pnimius halev, the deep, deep inner truth that comes from the heart. That's why whenever we need things from Hashem, we're not going to get it just through our mind. Our intellect is not going to be enough to get something from God. It's enough to manage in this world, to use your mind. You figure out this problem, that problem. But if we want to arouse gifts from Hashem, we have to arouse the depth of the heart. Not just a prayer, but the depth of prayer. That's what the verse says about Yaakov. Titain emes li Yaakov. You, God, will give truth to Yaakov. There is a truth that Yaakov can produce on his own, a truth that comes out of Yaakov's brain. But when we need God to give the truth to Yaakov, then Yaakov has to get that truth through prayer. And how does he get that truth through prayer? He has to get to the depths of his heart. And in the depths of his heart, he calls out to God. When he calls out to God from the depths of his heart, then God grants him a gift. God gives him truth. That's a deeper level of truth. And that's what Rabbi Nachman here is trying to stress. Rabbi Nachman is saying that sometimes we're in a state of darkness. We don't know the answers. We're lost. Darkness is a lack of the truth of the mind. The mind illuminates. When it's dark, we don't have the illumination of the mind. So when we don't have the illumination of the mind, how are we going to get out of the darkness? Then Rabbi Nachman says you have to say a true prayer, a prayer like Yaakov. What does that mean, a true prayer? You have to go deep into the depths of the heart. And from the depths of the heart, call out to God When you call out to God from the depths of the heart, the avodah should believe, then God grants the truth, and God opens up, and He tells you how to get out. He shows you how to get out of the darkness. Rabbi Nachman is telling us we have to go deep to a very, very deep truth. The truth is that there's a depth in Torah too. There's one simple way of learning Torah, which is with the mind. And then there's the Torah that's really only understood from the depths of the heart. Binas Halev, when a person needs to pray to understand the Torah. When a person is seeking the Torah very deeply, and from a deep place the Torah emerges, that's another level of truth. That's the truth that comes from the heart that can penetrate through the darkness. Think about some amazing things. You have the Beis HaMikdash. So in the Beis HaMikdash, there was a lot of light. It was open. You go into the building of the Beis HaMikdash, the Heichal. It's also a lot of light. You had the menorah there. You go past the menorah, you go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there's no light. There are no windows in the Holiest of Holies. And there's no menorah. There's nothing burning there. It's total darkness. And the one time that a person goes in, the one time the Kohen Gadol goes in, it's on Yom Kippur. And how does he go in? Ki ba'anane ro'el ha-kaporas. He goes in with a cloud of incense, with a cloud of darkness. So the Kodesh HaKadoshim is a place of total darkness. And in this place of total darkness, what's the Kohen Gadol accomplishing? Forgiveness for all the Jewish people. Wiping away all the sins. It's Yom Kippur. It wipes away all the problems. Because when you go into a place of total darkness, Rabbi Nachman is teaching, when you don't have the intellect anymore, then you have to go deep into the heart. The regular heart's not enough. You have to go deep in the heart. You say, God, I'm totally dependent on you. I need you. I'm calling out to you because I'm desperate. I can't get a way out of this. When you go deep into the heart, the Kohen Gadol at that point is revealing that there's forgiveness for the whole Jewish people. Think about what Yom Kippur is. What's the day of Yom Kippur? The day of Yom Kippur is a day when we pray five times. Five prayers. It's all prayer. The whole day is prayer. What happened on Yom Kippur? It's the day when we got the Luchos. Because we first got the Luchos on Shavuos. But Moshe came down with them on the 17th of Tammuz, and the Jewish people were worshipping a golden calf, so Moshe broke the Luchos. Then he had to spend time killing the idolaters. Then he went back up onto the mountain for another 40 days to pray, to get forgiveness. Then he came back down. He went back up for another 40 days. He comes down after the breaking of the golden calf on Yom Kippur with the Luchos. How do we celebrate Shavuos? We stay up all night learning Torah. How do we celebrate Yom Kippur? We celebrate by davening five times. Why are we davening five times? We should stay up all day learning Torah. It's the time when we got the Luchos, and these Luchos lasted. The answer is, there's the Torah that's truth, that's from the mind, that was Shavuos, and then there's the Torah that's a deeper truth, the Torah Lashma. That's already the Torah of Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, that's already the Torah that's coming within the darkness. And the Torah that's coming within the darkness, that's a Torah that's unbelievable. That's a Torah of tremendous, tremendous forgiveness that can wipe away all the averos. That's what the Kohen Gadol is accomplishing. Rabbi Nachman says, when we're in darkness, if we have a true prayer, a prayer of Yaakov Avinu, a deep prayer from the depth of the heart, then it can create unbelievable forgiveness. Yeah, question.
On a few things were said in the last 2 minutes. You're Kippur davening, the Kohen Gadol, the Avodah. You're talking about davening loud and not davening loud. So the thing that runs through my head is everybody on Yom Kippur everybody knows that we say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Elohim, what it says in every Siddur,
loud,
all round.
Nice.
So Manasha, are you supposed to be davening loud with Chachila? And if so, then what is your Baruch Shem?
Mm-hmm.
This is maybe a more more succinct question is, what is so relevant? I want to show my amaratzes, but what's so relevant of Baruch Shem Kol Malchus Elam Lord that it's so, has such a level of chashivos that only one day a year you get to say it. So the I don't know, but the concept is that we and Yom Kippur were parallel with Malachim at that point, etc. But so what? Only a Malach could say. So what are we saying? Baruch Shem Kavoy Malchus Elam Lord. Sounds like a pretty good prayer to me on a regular basis. What's the?
So according to the Kabbalah, there are two awarenesses of Hashem. One awareness of Hashem is called Yehuda Ilah, the awareness of the unification above. And the other is called Yehuda Tata, the awareness of the unification below. So the awareness of the unification above is when you see miracles and, you know, Hashem gives the Torah from Sinai. Something from out of this world comes into this world. Wow, it's Hashem. You know, it's Hashem. The awareness of the unification below is that in every single aspect of this world, it's really Hashem. Now that's a very harsh thing to say, because there's a lot of misery in this world. There are babies that have illnesses, there are people suffering, terrible torture. There's a lot of sorrow in this world. And to say, yeah, with all of that, and in all of that, in that very darkness, it's Hashem. It's a hard thing to say. It's really hard to swallow. It's like the Gemara says in the end of Masechta Brachos, you have to thank God for good things. You say, Yeshech Yanu. You have to thank God for bad things. Dayana Emes. Then the Mishnah says, the same way you're happy when you say Yeshech Yanu, you should be happy when you say Dayana Emes. That's very hard. That's very hard. It's hard to do that. But that's the mandate that we're supposed to try to reach for. But it's very, very hard. The reality is, when things are tough in this world, it's hard to feel, oh, it's so great. Oh, it's all Hashem. Oh, Hashem is literally here. So that's why normally in this world, talking about the unification below, Baruch Shem is whispered. It's whispered. Yes, blessed is the name of His glory. He's King here. But it's whispered. We don't see it so apparently. But on Yom Kippur, when we are all angelic beings, and we're on the level of angels, we don't have to eat, we're replacing our eating with davening, so then we can be like the angels, and we can already say Baruch Shem out loud. And we say it loudly and proudly. In the Beis HaMikdash it was said out loud, and we can also say it out loud. That's the idea of Baruch Shem. But that actually connects to what Rabbi Nachman is saying here, because what Rabbi Nachman is teaching us, according to this idea, is that there is all sorts of darkness in the world. And that darkness really pushes us to a very true prayer. Because we say, we're screaming to God, we can't solve it, we're desperate, we need you, you've got to help us. And that type of extreme prayer, of screaming to the Almighty, is so real. That's the real person. It's the depth of the heart. So it's another idea. The Ramban says, pray out loud because you're proud of God. You want everybody to hear that you're talking to God. Other commentators say, pray out loud because when you pray out loud, there's more energy and you'll have more kavanah. You'll concentrate more. Rabbi Nachman is saying, you want your life to come from God. Not that it's coming from being alive. It comes from God. If the life is going to come from God, it's when you realize that I'm lost. I'm in darkness. There's darkness here. The luchos are broken. And oh God, only you can help me. I'm screaming to you. Only you can help me. And you're the source of everything. I'm coming at you from the depths of my heart. If I'm coming at you from the depths of my heart, that's already a whole new beginning. That's a whole new level of prayer. And to go even deeper, you know, Yaakov Avinu, what prayer does he compose? He composes Maariv. Mincha was composed by Yitzchak. Shachris is composed by Avraham. And what's the prayer that Yaakov Avinu composes? Maariv. When do we say Maariv? When it's night, when it's dark. When did Yaakov compose Maariv? When he's running away from Esav, when he's got nothing, he's been made penniless, he's got all he has is his stick, and he's alone with a bunch of stones. That's when he's composing Maariv. You know, it's a time when there is a total broken heart. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down with the Luchos, he breaks the Luchos, the Jewish nation has a totally broken heart, they appeal to Hashem, and Hashem gives them a new set of Luchos on Yom Kippur. And what else does Hashem give on Yom Kippur? Hashem gives the new set of Luchos, and he reveals the 13 attributes of mercy, the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. Mercy is something that comes from the heart. When you're compassionate, you have mercy. The depth of the heart, the prayer from the depth of the heart, arouses Hashem's depth of the heart. When we come from the depth of the heart and we believe that the depth of the heart is the source of life for the whole being, so if we want to pray with the depth of the heart, it has to be with Elokei Chayai, God, you're the source of my life. And with all of my energy, Tefillah L'Kel Chayai, I put in all of my energy. This is what Rabbi Nachman is saying. We get to the Yam Suf. What does the Torah say? Vayitzaku, they scream to Hashem. They're desperate. They've got Paro behind them. They have the sea in front of them. There's no solution. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't have an answer. I don't know what to do. He's talking to Hashem. Hashem says, you know what? It's just go. They were davening from the depths of the heart. And what happens? The Yam Suf splits into 12 paths. The opposite of Yam Suf was the flood, the Mabul. At the Yam Suf, the sea split into 12 paths. We got through the water. The flood came and it wiped us out and we didn't get through any water. I mean, there was the Teva, but that was just for a small group. But humanity wasn't saved. The Torah says about the Mabul that what made Hashem send the Mabul, he saw that people were sinful. By Yis'atze Velibo, he was pained in his heart. He was pained in his heart. In other words, there wasn't a fixing of the depths of the heart. There was no heart by Yisatzi Velibo. But at Kriyas Yam Suf, the Jews screamed from the depths of our heart by Yitzaku El Hashem. When they screamed to Hashem from the depths of our heart, then the sea splits into 12 paths. You have all the 12 different ways of tefillah, the 12 different nuschos. All the different constellations are aroused. And that's a time when there is an enormous, enormous blessing that saves us from the difficulty of the Kriyas Yam Suf. Gemara says that it's hard to find a wife. It's as hard as the splitting of the Yam Suf. So what is Rabbi Nachman teaching here? The idea of finding a wife, of a husband connecting with a wife, is the idea of uniting Hashem, who's above the world, with all the holiness that's inside of the world. To realize that really it's all Hashem, there's nothing other than Hashem. To realize that there's nothing other than Hashem, that's really to take the physical and to transform it into spiritual. And there's just one thing, there's just Hashem. You know, the Hasidim say a funny thing, Reb Lezer Drikover. He said, when I was younger, so I had a big Yetzirah, I had lots of urges and struggles, and I could daven really good. I got older, I don't have such an Yetzirah, I don't really daven that well. So what Reb Lezer Drikover was saying is that, you know, the real davening is the davening of screaming. The real davening is the yelling of, God, I'm desperate. It's going terrible. My body's causing all these problems for me. God, you've got to help me. I need your help. It's only up to you. Then I transform all the physical into being spiritual and all becomes one great spirituality. Karov Hashem l'chol korav. We say it in Ashrei. Hashem is close to all those who call him. L'chol asher yikra'u be'emes. To all who call to him truthfully. Those who call out to God truthfully, from the depths of the heart, with all of their passion, those are the ones that Hashem is then close to. Karov Hashem l'chol korav. The Midrash says, the Gemara says, Masechet Shabbos, that when God wanted to create man, the angel said, "Mo enosh ki siskerenu." What is God that you should? What is man that you should make him? So God said, "I don't care. I'm going to make man anyway." That's the Gemara in Shabbos. The Midrash says that when God wanted to create man, he asked all sorts of powers whether or not he should do it. So kindness said, "Yeah, make man because man will do nice things." Truth said, "Don't make man. Man is filled with lies." So, Hishlich Mishamayim Eretz. God threw truth down onto the floor and he decided to make man anyway. But then the verse says, Emes me Eretz Titzmach. Truth, even though it was thrown to the floor, will sprout out of the ground. So what does that mean? There's one level of truth, which is the truth of the mind. From the perspective of the mind, you can understand it, you can communicate it. Should man be created? No, he's dishonest, he shouldn't be created. But from a deeper level of truth, the truth that comes from a broken heart, emes me'eretz titzmach, the truth that grows after it was broken, then man should be created. Then man is in fact created. And that's what Rabbi Nachman is saying here. Rabbi Nachman is saying that if we really want to get life, we have to get it from the depths of our heart. We have to get it from a deep appeal to Hashem. And to have life from the depths of our heart, that comes when we say that we're in darkness and we're out of total brokenness, we're screaming to God. If it's coming from the depths of our heart, it's all of our life. It has to be with full passion, with all of our strengths. The Hasidim say another idea of why it's important to pray with loud voices. They say, you know, God can read our hearts too. So what's the idea of saying the words? When we say the words, we're taking what's in our heart and we're purifying our bodies by the fact that we're saying the words. If we say it loudly, we're purifying all the airspace. There's all sorts of problems in the air, but our loud voice travels through the air. It cleans up the air. And that enables the prayer to go up and to accomplish great things. So tonight, what's the takeaway? The takeaway is that we should try to pray with energy, with loudly, with force. The Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, Kolaone Amen Yeheshmei Rabbah B'chol Kolcho. Anyone who says Amen Yeheshmei Rabbah with all of his strength, Afilu Gzardin Shel Shivim Shana, even if there's a decree against him of 70 years, Nikra, he'll tear it up. That by saying Amen Yeheshmei Rabbah with all of his strength, now Rashi says it means with all of concentration, but Tosu says all of his strength is as loudly as possible. When we daven loudly, we can tear up the bad judgments. We can arouse the depths of the heart. We can draw new life. We can arouse more kavana. We can glorify God in a greater way. And so may we all merit to daven with strength and hopefully to see many blessings for us and Parnassa and Zivugim and all the good